Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas and also on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I'm once again joined by Troy Makepeace to do a bit of a preview of the upcoming game against GWS on Sunday. Now, we did a little bit of a review of last week's performance. We talked about his thread that I'm sure a lot of you listeners have seen over the last, I think it was last week. So yeah, we talked a little bit about that and broke down the first and second quarter in particular. We talked a few other things about Lee Adams as well, his comments, the Jason on Francis tweet, you know, liking a tweet of him as a possible trade destination to Port Adelaide. So yeah, no, it's there's a lot we discussed. Before I get into that, there was obviously the trade period in the AFLW team, which just concluded yesterday. So a couple bits of news there I'll go through. Probably pretty disappointing day yesterday as far as the AFLW team goes. Probably the most disappointing day in the history of the club, to be honest with you. Caitlin Ashmore asked for a trade to Hawthorn. That was her preferred destination, and she got her wish. It was basically just a free agent signing almost effectively. I think we ended up getting pick 51 in return, which is pick 26 in the as far as a Melbourne selection player goes. So each player, because they're not full-time, they can can select which state they want to get selected in as far, when they get picked up. So yeah, if that makes sense. I'm rambling on a bit. And the other one was right at the end, right on the death of the trade period, was Daisy Bateman. Has been traded to the Western Bulldogs. I think it was for pick 72 and 90, and they get pick 74 back. So just a salary dump almost trade there. So yeah, a couple losses. I'll say Ashmore one's more of a key loss. Daisy Bateman was that was a bit of a surprise too. Just a very well loved figure in the women's team. You know, does her own podcast. Seems like a very popular teammate. She was a very proud North Melbourne player as well. You know, every time I've seen her at games, watching the men's or something like that, she was she'd always wear a North Melbourne tracksuit, and it seemed like she really loved being at the club. So I was a bit shocked that it sort of just gave away for nothing. You know, I mean, she was a first round pick, you know, only 3 years ago, and then just to give her away like that was a bit surprising. I'll probably look to do a show late next week to talk about the women's team while we're in the bye rounds. Yeah, just to talk about the upcoming season of that, which is going to approach very quickly. I think it's coming up in August. So, yeah, I will do a podcast probably next week or the week after or something like that. So just talk about, where we're at as a football club in the AFLW. Anyways, I'll go straight to Troy now. I know you're all eagerly awaiting to hear his thoughts on the North Melbourne Football Club. So I'll bring him on right now.
I'm once again joined by Troy Makepeace. And now, before we start and get into the weeds of last week's game and a preview of this week as well, Troy, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Jason Lord Francis liking a tweet of him possibly getting traded, fake trade to Port Adelaide. You know, I think it was Zach Butters in the first and the second rounder for him, and him liking it. Like, I don't read too much into that. I think someone said on Twitter, it might have been Evie at Tight and Strong. She sort of said, I think he likes all the tweets that he gets his name mentioned in. So I'm not going to read. Yeah. I don't read too much. What about yourself?
I think, and this I reckon would go with anyone in any sport. I think a lot of their likes and whatnot and what we want to, I guess it's topical at the moment, isn't it? So yeah, I can understand why there's the interest in it. Maybe he thought it was funny rather than like the trade up. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't read too much into it. It is a little bit odd this time, but there's probably these likes as well that we could read a bit into that we won't
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's just you know, like just a maturity thing, isn't it? Probably just has to pick which ones he likes a bit better, doesn't he?
Yeah, he will be now, absolutely. So I guess he's grown up in that culture and whatnot, and social media is prevalent from when he it wasn't something we had to deal with really when we were coming through. So something that kids these days are naturally on their phones quite often on social media as well. But yeah, that's something that, again, you know, just be careful what you're doing on social media, because as you can see, everyone's watching, especially him. He's in the media, and everyone's interested in what he's doing.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more with that. So, yeah, he's in the limelight, and obviously there's been a lot of talk in the last few weeks about contract extensions and holding that off to the end of the year. And, there's obviously, you know, his football's under a lot of microscope as well, and so forth. And I think it just comes down to maturity at the end of the day. Like, he'll learn from it and become better for it. So I'm not going to read too much into it. And it's not absolutely an indication that he wants to go to Port Adelaide or anything like that. So, yeah, well... We've got more important things to worry about. We'll move forward. Thanks. We'll move forward. I don't want to talk too much about the emotional side after I've copped a bit of a spray on Twitter the other week. So we'll.
Yeah, that was quite odd, mate. Quite odd. It was just a couple of blokes having a chat about the footy and obviously our love for the Kangaroos. But you're doing a good job, mate. I really appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we get the. Listeners, they can enjoy it as much as I do.
No, thanks. Appreciate the real nice words there, Troy. It's always a pleasure to have you on. And, I really appreciate every time you do come on, like all North supporters. And while you've been quite active on social media a little bit yourself, now that we're talking last week, you've obviously started a thread. You talked about our first quarter and our second quarter, how we played. So I'll go to the positives, obviously the first quarter. What did you see there? Like, there was, like, I recommend, people check out his thread from last week. What did you see that we did really well in that first quarter?
I thought our intensity and intent, particularly around stoppages, was quite good. We were in front often, got our hands on the footy and were able to get the ball going forward. I thought very good. Was very good. LDU was very good. I thought there was a lot of upside. Obviously, you know, the result was on the scoreboard as well. That was the big thing. And looking back over the course of the season, I think we've been reasonably good in that area. So it was good to continue that. It's really good just to. It was a shame, obviously, we got onto it, and that's where you go into the second quarter, where I thought it was all the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, just explain, like, we obviously seen it. We completely went the opposite way of the first quarter, like you just said. Just explain how it fell apart in the second quarter. There was obviously a few individual incidents, like there was obviously that Jason and Francis shot a goal, if you call it that. It missed by a fair way, where the ball stayed in, and then you see someone like Ben Ainsworth run 80 metres while our players just stood around watching it. And then and Curtis Taylor, another one where he wasn't was in no man's land in defensive 50 and didn't pay any attention to his opponent, who got a goal on the line. Just explain as best as you can, I suppose, how it fell apart.
I look at the very first centre bounce of the second quarter, and I thought it was a real opportunity that went your authority on the game a little bit and make a bit of a statement in that first centre bounce as our midfield group. And I thought we were very, very slack and very and we weren't moving, and we gave up a really soft I thought that's for how we played for the rest of that quarter, because you look I looked at a lot of our stoppages, primarily stoppages. So I sort of look at the goals, and then I go back to where they originate from. And I thought we gave up a lot of soft, very soft. And I'll go back to the first one again. I thought Taron Thomas could have made a bit of a statement there as well. Not going to get your first hands on the ball at every clearance, but I think it's what you do if you don't win it. Stopped once on the footy and just conceded that he was going to win it. And I thought I would rather just nailing him in a real fierce tackle. He might have fallen in his back or whatnot, but it just, I think that's where we'll get going again. I thought we just, yeah, unfortunately, particularly around the stoppages. The other area I thought was really, really stood out was our ball movement from the back, from kick-ins. Just why we just constantly went to the one side long every single time. Our defenders, when they got their hands on the footy, weren't looking on the 45s. They weren't looking change angles. We just went down the line all the time, and it was so frustrating to watch. Really clear and put my eye. So yeah, it was. I really hope we get away from that sort of ball.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. That's pretty well summed up. I mean, I'll give some statistics out to you. Inside 50s that quarter, 28-5. Disposals, 96-65. Contested possessions, like you said, that first effort in the center square was. It was a bit soft of a clearance and, yeah, very easy breakaway. And there was a couple others during that quarter as well. It was 46-29 contested possessions, clearances 16-10, and Gold Coast kicked 7-7 no score. It probably could have been 10-plus goals, really, that quarter, couldn't it? They missed a couple of easy ones.
Yeah, definitely. It was get the ball out of there and then just try and hold on. But unfortunately, when you're giving up soft clearances, giving up little effort in those marking contests when we were kicking the ball out. Even our contests to compete were very soft as well. And when the ball's coming in 28 times, was uncontested ball being delivered inside 50. There's only so much that a back six before things start to fall apart. And obviously, like you said, you know, 7-7 could have easily been, you know, 10 or 12 goals. It was probably one of the more disappointing quarters I've seen us play.
Yeah, I'll probably say that's probably the worst quarter even than the last quarter against Brisbane. I thought particularly how we started the game, being 17 points up, it really gave us hope. And then we just went away from the things that we did well and just went back to bad habits of just going long down the line, like you said. And they'll just get no repeat entries inside the 50. I mean, you're a defender. When you're at the peak of your career, you wouldn't have liked 28 inside 50 entries, would you?
Oh, no, definitely not. Definitely. The big thing, you go back to the Melbourne game. I think you might have mentioned it when we were on after that game. I think the difference in uncontested possession was nearly 100 from memory, or 70, or plus 70 in uncontested possession.
I think it was 43.
Okay. Oh, I'll just add close a few enough. More on there.
Yeah, that's all right.
But it was positive anyway.
Yeah, no, close enough, mate.
It's just what I liked about that was we just starved Melbourne of the footy. There were times also in that game. Then we pulled the trigger at the right times and we got some good passages of play inside 50. So I don't know why. There was this ploy to just go long down the line. I don't know what it was. And I think I'm pretty sure I highlighted the one passage of play where we actually chipped the ball from our back half. We actually got it inside 50. Contested. Old field. And I thought that's a bit of a blue we can do, what our potential. But yeah, I don't know why. Don't know what the direction was, but to consistently go down. Frustrating indeed.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when you lack confidence and lack belief, it can really go that way. And you sort of, I mean, I'm sure like we'll sit there thinking of it, the game was almost starting to get beyond us halfway through the second quarter. That the players are thinking that too, that, you know, they're starting to self-doubt themselves and probably just thinking they don't want to take the risk, go the 45. They just want to play the safe option and go down the line. And, yeah, it doesn't really help out the team. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, there was that real one passage of play where it was well, there were uncontested possessions, and we did get an inside 50. We didn't score, obviously, but yeah, it was only that one. Yeah, they did. They went the other way. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, what can you do? Is that something like with that thread? Is that something you're going to do over the coming weeks, every now and then?
I don't enjoy doing it. It's something that I've been thinking about doing, and I wasn't sure how to do it. Video analysis is sort of a little bit of a hobby of mine. I just like breaking things down, you know, working my way back as to, you know, how was that goal scored, or how was that play unfold? Even when I was playing, I really enjoyed the breaking my opponents down and trying to work out their strengths and weaknesses. So it's just sort of followed on from that. And I just thought, you know, reading even in the good times as well, of supporters and questioning, you know, why this opportunity, just to go, okay, let's see if supporters might look of what it looks like on the, and that's pretty much how we did our game back when I was playing. So that, well, that's what it can look like, and that this is what potentially that players will be told and shown, and also what they did really well. So yeah, I just saw that. Seemed to enjoy it quite a bit, and I don't know if it's something I can do every week. It does take a little bit of time, a lot of backwards and forwards on the video, but I do enjoy it. I point some things out to myself as well that I can then focus on.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Finished.
No. Sorry about that. I cut you off a little bit there towards the end. Almost auditioning for a coaching job by the sounds of it.
Nah. Definitely not coaching. I like the development side. If there was a path that I would, if the opportunity come up and I was in 100% the development side of it. So, yeah, I enjoyed locally coaching under 18s back where I am now. I'm doing coaching as a club. Who's got a very young group, so I do enjoy that. So, yeah, that side of things I really do enjoy. I get a bit of a buzz out of watching young kids A and end up, you know, Z, whatever, and watching their development as they go, and hopefully something I've done along the way helps them get there.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff. And I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure a lot of supporters seem to enjoy it as well, just going through a bit of an analysis of, how well we played the first quarter and to the contrast of the second quarter. And yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. So hopefully we can see a few. Like, I understand, you know, it is time consuming, and you know, you've got a very young family who are very busy and keep you busy. So yeah, we certainly understand that you can't do it all the time. So yeah, no, we do appreciate that as supporters that you did do that. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. So, and it was good to get a feeling of how it was analysed back in the day as well. Playing against Dean Laidley and analysing oppositions, because I did hear a lot that he was very thorough in his preparation against opposition teams. So yeah, no, it was very good. I enjoyed it. So hopefully we'll see a few more.
Yeah, if I get the time.
Yeah, sounds good, mate. Hopefully we can get one every now and then. That'll be good. Oh, well, yeah. I'd like to have you on here one time, Troy, where we actually do win a game. So that'll be good. So, yeah, but hopefully sooner rather than later that'll happen. Yeah, so who are some of the players you thought played well last week? Probably only a handful that played a good four-quarter performance. But, who are some that really stood out for you?
looking through, obviously going back through the video, he was looking forward to playing in front of the Northern Territory crowd. Just had that hunger throughout the whole game, I thought. One that I didn't give a lot of credit to at the start, but that was really good, was Hugh Greenwood. I thought were really good. I thought our back six reasonably get, you know, 80 plus inside 50s. Yeah, bound to get scored heavily against, but yeah, they did. And I said, you know, Jason Horne Francis, I know it's easy to pick him out, but I really love his attack on the ball at the footy as well. So he's another one that did some good things. Luke Davies Uniac did some good things as well. That second quarter really kicked us in the guts, and you know, that really for the second half. So yeah, it was sort of really hard to look at the second half and see who really stood out.
Yeah, it was hard to watch the third quarter because I just kept thinking about the second quarter and how it just fell apart. And, yeah, it was like, I had my heart ripped out basically that second quarter. We're down by 5 goals and the game was pretty much effectively over, I felt like. So it was hard to watch it with that third quarter without thinking. I mean, I know we all, this day and age, it's all about being in the present moment and, you know, and meditation and all that sort of thing. When something like that happens, it's a bit of a kick in the guts. So yeah, no, it was tough. We certainly did get some good contributions from LDU, who battled really hard in the midfield. Hugh Greenwood, really battled hard as well. Jed Anderson, the back six I thought held up really well. I mean, 81 inside 50s, and to only concede, I think it was at 109 points. It's not a bad effort. I mean, they did miss some shots at goal, so that made it probably a bit more respectable than what it should have been. Who were some of the players that you thought struggled a bit last week?
I think inside 50, we struggled. I thought disappointing, you know, playing if not all inside 50 and only having 3 possessions. We only had, I think you might have mentioned to someone mentioned to me anyway, that we had 1 tackle inside 50, inside forward 50. And that's what Kane would be in there to do at some point.
Yeah.
Disappointing. I thought Jack Seaborn at the times was caught behind, a little bit slow off the mark on some occasions. So, yeah, I would say inside 50, we really struggled. For most, if not all, of the game.
Yeah, I'll talk about it now. We'll talk about the inside 50s. I'll give you some stats the last 3 weeks, inside 50s. So we've had 34, 34, 36, respectively, in each of those 3 weeks. Inside 50 tackles, 9 against Melbourne, 8 against St Kilda, and 1 last week, like you said. Really disappointing. Like you said, Kane Turner pretty much should be in the team to put that defensive pressure on if he's going to play forward. The opposition, inside 50s. So Melbourne 74, St Kilda 58, Gold Coast 81, inside 50 tackles, 23 to Melbourne, 14 to St Kilda, and 22 to Gold Coast. So 22 inside 50 tackles to 1. Is it just a simple, like, am I simplifying this by saying we're not getting the ball inside 50 and the ball's been predominantly played in their defensive half, and we can't seem to get it forward? Is it as simple as
in
that?
A nutshell, yep.
Yeah.
I think not getting an inside 50. Do you have the inside 50s against Melbourne?
They are 34 to 74.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say about how we moved the ball. I thought we moved the ball better against Melbourne, but we obviously didn't get this more inside 50s, but that's something I'll have to go back and have a look at. But ball control, I think, is one thing. And I think our targets inside 50 as well. Straws. I don't know, I can't really comment because it's not something I've analysed over the last couple of weeks. It's pretty disappointing, though, isn't it? It's pretty damning statistics.
Yeah, yeah. I tweeted that out last week. Pretty much saying the same thing, though. Damning statistics, especially the inside 50 tackles, 22-1 is a big discrepancy. Yeah, I mean, and like you said, I just found like, I feel like our forwards are caught too far behind their opponents a lot. Did you find that a bit last week? Like, I even found that with Nick Larkey, Zeeble, like you said, Kane Turner. Yeah.
I thought that, and I noticed this in the first quarter, I thought our forwards were too high. And we'd be more traditional. I understand they do need to roll up to some point, but we kicked the ball outside our sort of say half back line. It's like a 3-on-1. You know, the Taron Thomas one. Jason off. Flank and chipped the ball inside to LDU, and then he kicked it wide to half forward to Thomas's advantage, like 3 players on him, and the ball ended up going out of bounds. But it just where we kicked the ball forward, and it was always a 3-on-1, and because we don't have that pressure plus, we don't have the speed to put pressure on. I think we got. Taron Thomas did a really good job and put some pressure on in a 2-on-1 situation. Forced a hack back the ball over, and LDU got his goal. So, forwards need to play back a little bit and be more traditional forwards.
Yeah, I mean, do you think we're dropping too far back? Like, we're dropping too many numbers in their defensive 50 as well?
Yep.
I agree with that. It's more of a case. We're dropping too far back, and like you said, there's too many 3-on-4-on-1 contests, and that's why probably someone like Nick Larkey is struggling.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, we're dropping too far behind the ball. I think we need to put a bit more trust in our back six to do the job and win the ball out. And then we've got that representation across the middle of the ground. Just to throw the ball through it. At the moment, we're kicking the ball forward. It's a 2-on-5 or whatever. And you know, anytime we get our hands on the footy, it's either out of bounds or another hack kick forward. And you know, there's opportunity for the opposition to run the ball out easily. We're guarding grass. We're just saying. It's like we're saying to each other, I'm behind the ball, I'm doing my job, I'm defending, I'm behind the ball, but they're not actually picking someone up.
I agree with that. Yeah, it feels like, especially when you're at a game, you can sort of see those things where we're just defending space a lot, and probably a space that it's not in a dangerous area either. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully we can look at that and work on that, because that's something that's been a problem for us for probably a number of weeks now. Anyways, I'll move forward. Team selection just came in a couple hours ago. So team changes in. Jaden Stevenson, Aaron Hall are definites at this stage to come in. Who was Charlie Lazaro and Jackson Archer, also named on the extended bench. I'm not too sure. He's been on the extended bench for a few weeks in a row now as an emergency. Ben McKay, the only casualty. On extended bench, Scott Lazaro, Archer, Powell, Greenwood, Thomas, Artu, and Tristan Sherry. Two definitely confirmed ins. Stevenson and Hall, are you happy with that?
Jaden Stevenson, if I'll be telling him you'll be judged on not what he's doing, because we know what he can do.
Yeah.
I'd be judged. Doesn't have the footy.
Yeah, no, he's copped a fair bit of criticism this week. Matthew Lloyd saying, yeah, he's justified not getting a game and he shouldn't be playing this week. I think that was a bit harsh. I'm a bit surprised with Kane Turner got picked again this week, especially after last week, only probably playing a very poor individual game, like you said, three disposals and at 0% disposal efficiency, and I don't even he didn't even lay a tackle either. So yeah, I mean that's probably the surprise for me that he's still picked.
They're named on the ground. They're definites.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's how it's always been. The 18 that are confirmed on the ground, and that's Kane Turner is one of them. He's been named on the halfback flank, and Aaron Hall and Jaden Stevenson have been named on the 18 in the 18 as well. So, yeah, it's only they pick four of the eight out of the extended bench, and obviously there's a there's obviously the medical sub as well. Yeah, so. That's as far as I know, unless they've changed it in recent times. But I'm pretty sure it's the 18 on the ground that get picked. So yeah,
if that's the case, I think that's pretty poor selection to me.
Kane Turner, you're talking about?
Expectation. This is not supporter expectations. It's just AFL standard expectations. Yeah, I think if you look at a 20-30 game, if you go back to Penny early in the season, he was still getting his hands on the footy. And was sent back. So I guess until he can put up some good numbers at VFL level, and fortunately he's done that. I'd like to see the same thing for our leaders as well. If they're not putting up the numbers, the expectation we need carry players that aren't performing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, no, you're not the only one that thinks like that. A lot of supporters have sort of questioned that selection. And, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter how well you train. I mean, I understand you might be a good example of training and so forth. But if you're not doing it on a game on a Saturday or a Sunday, then, yeah, you've got to be held accountable because that's where it matters, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. I think I've been open and honest in – sinking the boots into team that I support and individual players of the team that I support. In all honesty, like you said before, he's had three possessions, three ineffective possessions. And I think I caught three of those three possessions on the review that they're pretty ordinary decisions, to be honest. I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought it was an opportunity to make a bit of a statement. That Kane's picked. I thought it was an opportunity to send him back to the reserves and work his way back into the team.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. It's not a personal thing against him, and it's about finding form. Like, you can't just keep picking players that are out of form each week and hoping they can turn it around. You know, he's obviously down on confidence, and you know he's got to figure out what his best role is. But why wouldn't you? Yeah, put him in the reserves, put him on the ball, let him get some touches like a Jaden Stevenson.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Yeah, but no, I guess I'm not on the selection committee, so yeah, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what I think anyway. I wanted to talk to you about, I don't know if you've seen VFL senior coach Lee Adams last week and what he said about the team. Did you hear about that?
I read the article, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll quote it. I found it a bit harsh. Well, lost by 71 points last week, so I'll read a couple of sentences here. We got what we deserved today. Yeah, intensity wasn't at the level. Our ability to defend the ball wasn't at the level, and our contest wasn't at the level. It was a really disappointing day all round. And in the end, we got what we deserved. We gave too much space for the opposition to be able to use their skills, and their pressure was really good, which didn't allow us to use our skills. It was a pretty fair indication of scoreboard in the end. So, and he said, we've got too many blokes at the moment who seem to care more about what's happening on the stat sheet instead of what's happening on the scoreboard. Pretty scathing attack. I think he's having a go maybe at a few AFL senior players there. I'm not so sure. I can't quote it exactly. But... Is that the right way to sort of send a message like that, or do you keep that in-house?
It'd be interesting to know what the actual question was that prompted that response. Was it just a generic question about, you know, how'd you see the game and he's done? I don't think, well, is, oh, I'm just trying to think, is it scathing or not? I think it's such what happened. He was obviously annoyed. As if you read that again and didn't tell me it was from Lee Adams and didn't tell me he was in reference guide, you could even look at that and say he was talking about the AFL. Because I think that at times that's how we've played. I don't know, maybe he said that on more than one occasion in-house. I don't know. Context is a big thing for me. You know, we don't know, yeah, like I said, what the question was that prompted it. You know, he was just angry. So, cop it on the chin and go on. If that's what he thinks and that's where he thinks the team's at, I think you just wear it and respond next week on the footy field. It's the only way you can do it.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully we do get a response in the reserves as well because, yeah, I thought they – like, I watched the game and it was tough conditions. Like, it was windy, it was wet. And I thought the players did try hard. We just don't have the talent at the moment because we've got a lot of injuries and a lot of players like a Kane Turner who probably could go down to the reserves and play really well are still playing seniors at the moment. So there's probably a lot of fringe players that you think would do well at VFL level are playing seniors at the moment, which makes it pretty tough as far as that. But, yeah, obviously, he was very disappointed with the performance last week. So, yeah, I found it a bit strange because he's usually been quite reserved in his post-game reviews about the reserves team and being positive and so forth. But that was a bit out of character for Patch. But, yeah, obviously there was a reason for that. And like you said, back in your day, Dean Lely didn't hold back a lot of times, did he?
I think as supporters, I look at it and go, well, what response are you after? What response do you want or would you be content with? You know, he's given up a 7-point loss and he might have seen that as a gettable game and we didn't. So I look at it and go, well, okay, what response be content with as supporters to go, okay, that's, you know, that's about where he's coming from.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah, like you said, context is king, and yeah, we don't know the full context and what the question was asked. So yeah, it might be a bit more to the story than it is. Anyways, we'll go to this week. We've got GWS obviously this week. How can we play better? Like, if we start off slow in the second quarter, like, let's say we get off to a decent start again in the second quarter, yeah, we concede a couple early goals. How can we get back into the contest and compete and play a four-quarter game, I guess, is my question to you.
Yeah, that's to that one, wouldn't we? Yeah. I would go back to the good quarters that we've played. You know, you look at the Sydney game, I'd go back to the Sydney, I'd go back to the Melbourne game, and I'll go back to our first quarter last week and break it down and go, okay, what did we do well? That's our benchmark, that's our standard, that's our expectation. That's our knowledge that we can compete against teams. That's the confidence that we need to play with, and then we've got to go from there. And then, yeah, we get an opportunity like we did last quarter. It comes down to our leaders or whoever's going to be the first ones to get their hands on the footy to make a statement and make an impact on that first play and go, okay, that's what we need to do to get rolling again. I know it's hard because a lot of it's mental, isn't it? Yeah, you know, commitment to doing it and commitment to doing it for a long time and belief that we can do it. We just got get up by three goals like we did last week, that obviously the coach is going to change things up for the quarter time and do a few positional changes, and we just got to have that expectation. Things are going to change, and we're not going to have it the same way throughout the whole game, and we need to adapt and respond to that. Against that first play, that first 30 seconds of whatever quarter, or your first impact, that seconds of your particular impact on the play, that you make 100% commitment to do the job.
Yeah, it's about being switched on, isn't it? Like, not just, like last week, there were signs early, especially, I think, in the second quarter, the first three centre clearances were quite far too easy, and it just set the tone for the rest of the quarter. So, yeah, it's about competing in the contest, and, definitely getting more from our leaders this week as well. That would be very nice. Who are some individual players that you really think need to step up this week? Obviously, I think we talked about Kane Turner. He's probably one that you'd hope would step up. Anyone else you feel like that's out of form?
He's going to play. He needs to have a real standout game. Leaders. Absolute menace down there. I think the spotlight should be heavily on him. To have a real standout game, and we need a big lift from him, and anyone that plays in our forward line to have an impact, because we've been pretty poor down there. Just an effort from our midfield group, Goldie, Jed, Jason or Francis, just to for that period of time that you're on ball and really make a statement for the whole game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. How do you want us to play this week? Like, obviously, we had that first quarter last week. Is it like, even if we get challenged, do you want to stick to that sort of principle how we play? Going for those 45 kicks instead of just reverting back to let's do a couple of chip kicks to the back pocket, all right, one down the line now. You want us to stick to what we're strong at, don't you?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I understand. 45 degree kicks can come with difficulty. If you turn the ball over, it can be. It needs to be controlled. It needs to be measured. I don't mind. And then going back the other way, I think it just generates a bit of. And we just need to have the patience to know when to pull the trigger and go forward. As much as the umpires like to, call play. It's amazing what can open up in that 6 or 7 seconds that you're holding onto the footy before he does call play on. So that comes to that too is we need to have players prepared to work to positions to be able to get used and not just be defenders and just be stationary. We need to be moving all the time, opening up options, be controlled and measured across that. Look for those 45s, look for those laterals, and then they'll know when the time comes. They'll know when something about to open up. And then and the other thing, I think Aaron Hall's going to be a big in. I think we just look at getting the ball in his hands. He can break the lines, generate that run and carry. And the other little sneaky one, I wouldn't mind Taron Thomas just to run off half-back flank for, a quarter here and, I think, get the ball in his hands as well.
Yeah, we kind of need that other line breaker, don't we, in that back line? Someone that can, you can get the ball behind, from behind and just break the lines through the corridor. And probably Taron Thomas and Aaron Hall, if you can get them doing that from the, get those rebound 50s, it makes a big difference, doesn't it, if you can get two of them in the team?
Oh, absolutely. It makes it really hard to defend. It also, with them, that draws their forward for a brief period of time. I think opposition teams look and they've got, Taron Thomas and Aaron Hall running at them from a halfback. saying that, you know, it's the game, but it just creates a different mindset from the opposition. I think it's also somewhere that I think he's been for the period of time. I think if he can start to get that, you know, halfback plank, I think he can turn into a quite a good player.
Yeah, who was that? Sorry, I think it cut out. Which player that was? Yeah, Baylor Scott. Yeah, I thought you said that. Yeah, no, he's I think he's had a very underrated year, to be honest with you. I think he's been very good. Yep. Yeah, he's been a big plus for us this year, and yeah, out of contract player. Hopefully, we can re-sign him to a decent deal before the end of the year. That'll be really good for him. In saying all that, what's your final prediction then?
There's something, and this, you know, being that I want them to win, there's something that tells me I think we're a big chance this week. I don't know what it is. I think we're going to get over the line and have a really good win and hopefully, you know, turn the corner a little bit.
Yeah, I hope you're right. It'll be nice. Look, I mean, it'd be nice just to get within probably 45 points at this stage, to be honest with you. It's been a while since we've been very competitive in a game. So, yeah, well, there's been a lot of talk. And, yeah, I've said it before that, when there's a lot of talk, there's we usually respond. But I've said that for a few weeks now and it hasn't happened. So, hopefully, it's going to happen. You can't keep getting 50 points every week. So, the law of averages says, Troy, I think we're due for a decent performance this week. So, I'll go with that. Yeah, that's what they say. Very well said. before I let you go then, Troy, what's your final message for the fans or supporters this week, I should say?
We look at the wins and losses. You look at the margins. You know, it's tough for players to turn up week in and week out. Knowing, you know, things will change. When, who knows? But it will. And as support, and support the team. And I know it's hard, like really hard. You know, we haven't really put performances up to our supporters' confidence to be able to turn up and know that we're going to have a crack each week. And that's just an expectation, I think, that we all want. You know, just turn. And we're going to be happily lost, but it's going to show our supporters that we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. And you're a chance to go this weekend as well, are you? I mean, you told me before the show there might be a bit of that.
Yeah, unfortunately, my youngest son's got yesterday. That does make it a little bit difficult. Need a bit of logistics to work out. And obviously, you know, being a couple of hours from difficult. We'll see how we go. I'd love to get down there and support and get to another game in the flesh. But yeah, if not, I'll be cheering on from home.
Yeah, no, sounds good. No, and that's a good final message. And if Troy does make it this weekend, he said he'll buy everyone a beer. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that might cost you a bit. So no, he actually didn't say that. Just to clarify, don't go hunting down or anything like that. So yeah, if he does go. Anyways, Troy, I really appreciate you coming on the show. It was great to get your response to last week, and obviously get your review of this week, preview of this week. So yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks again for having me, mate. Really enjoy the chat.
Always appreciate Troy coming on the show. So that's it for this episode. I will be back either Monday or Tuesday next week. I'll do a bit of a review of hopefully a win against GWS this week. I've said that a number of times this year, and hasn't come true. But what can you do? Troy said, for every loss you have, you're closer to a win. So that's what we have to believe at the moment. We have to be a bit delusional in our thinking. So yeah. No, it's the way it is at the moment. Sometimes your football club's going to suck, but you have to keep that one through. So, yeah, anyways, I really appreciate all the, comments I'm getting, all the likes I get, all the retweets, and everything you do to promote the show. It's really helping. It's going out to more audiences now. I'm trying to be interactive on Instagram. It doesn't seem to be liking me too much at the moment. My account is suspended with certain things, but other things it isn't. So, yeah, I'm trying to work that all out, and hopefully I can do more with that over the course of the season. But keep up the great work. Don't forget to keep liking, retweets, whatever you can do to help the show. I really, really appreciate. I hope all you lovely listeners have a long weekend. Stay safe out there. Don't drink too much. Drink in moderation. Try and get down to the footy on Sunday. Hopefully we can put in a good performance. There's only one game on Sunday. So, bring a mate. Do whatever you can to get down to the game. That'll be good. Anyways, that's it. I've had enough. I will leave a shout out to Martin Pike. Bye for now.